Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Want to continue the series that we began on New Year's Eve, because it is our year of great grace. Have you noticed that we've been going in a particular direction? We want to explore the subject of grace on a deep level, because, you know, the whole of faith is about grace. It's about the grace of God. The whole of Christianity is about the grace of God. You know, Christianity stands out from every other kind of, we're not a religion, amen. It's the faith in God, hallelujah. But it stands out because it is one faith that is not based on your effort. Amen. It is based on what God has done. And so our salvation is not what we achieved ourselves. It was given to us, and that is the grace of God. Hallelujah. So we want to continue. We talked about grace being, we said there are two words that you can use to summarize grace. What are the two words? Goodness and mercy. Amen. Goodness. That's why it says, for his goodness, for his mercy and his goodness endure forever. And David said, goodness and mercy shall follow me. See, so everything that God does, you can put them under those two headings. He's always doing good. If you want to describe God, you say he's good and he's merciful. So you receive mercy. Mercy is for pardon. Mercy is for forgiveness. Goodness is the enablement of God, the blessing of God, and all of that. So those are the two things. And we looked at mercy, and we've been exploring that. But tonight I want us to look at another subject. It says, now that we know what we have, you know, this is the Message translation that of the one we read on Sunday. Now that we know what we have, Jesus, this great high priest, with ready access to God. You know, the high priest goes to God. In the Old Testament, you see that the people couldn't come to the throne of grace. They couldn't come to the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest. And guess what? Right now, we are not in heaven. Our high priest is in heaven. He's with God. And there is a mercy seat. You know, all of the things that we see in the tabernacle, in the Old Testament, yes, they are all a picture, the Bible says, of what is in heaven. So there is a mercy seat, and that seat is where the throne of God is. This God sends mercy, but it comes through the high priest, because it's the high priest that goes there, and what he is doing is he's speaking mercy for us. Hallelujah. And so he has ready access to God. Let's not let it slip through our fingers. When someone tells you don't let something slip through your fingers, it means is that you have a hold of something so good, so precious, and it is possible not to be aware of it. You know, you can have something and not know it. So don't let it slip through your fingers. Verse 15. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality, you see. See, Jesus came down, I was saying on Sunday, he came down in human form. He was 100% man and 100% God. So he came in human flesh. And because he came in human flesh with all of the frailties of the human flesh, because our flesh has frailties, that's why we miss it on earth. That's why we sin. That's why we have challenges, and that sometimes the challenges overwhelm us. You know, by the time we get to heaven, when Jesus returns, there will be no weakness in our flesh. In fact, the Bible lets us know in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I believe, round about verse 53, it says, this corruptible must put on what? Incorruption. You see, so this is corruptible, this flesh. And it's important that we realize and say, this mortal must put on immortality. But it hasn't yet. It is when we check out of this earth, we're going to be changed. This body will be changed. So until then, There are weaknesses in our flesh. That is the reality. He says he's been through what? Weakness and testing, experienced it all but the sin. So let's keep reading. So he experienced everything. Now weakness. Verse 16. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is ready to give. Why is the Bible saying this? I mean, it is possible, one, to not come to God for mercy. And one of the things that will stop us from coming to God is not acknowledging that we are weak. You know, you can only get help if you know you need help. You see. So it's important that we realize this. So we say, let's come walk right up to him and get what he's ready to give. Take mercy. Accept the help. Hallelujah. Take mercy. Accept the help. And you know, the New King James says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with what? With our weaknesses. The word sympathize there is, you see, when you use the word sympathize, it means you feel it. You feel what the person feels. See, so if you go to somebody and say, I'm sympathizing with them, but you're not feeling the way they're feeling it, then you're not really sympathizing. Amen. But you're doing something to them. Amen. So why will he say Jesus sympathizes with our weaknesses? He's saying that because he has experienced it. He came in the human flesh that we have, and he knows the things that affect us. He experienced it. And because he experienced it, he is able to help us because he experienced it without failing. He experienced it without coming under the power of it. He was able to overcome it. The Bible says he did not sin. Now, if he says Jesus did not sin, it means that the weaknesses we have, we can fail. Do you get that? Because he is the only one who experienced it and did not sin. The word sin there means to fail or to miss it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so, let's go. It says, so let's walk the New King James. Let's look at the New King James, verse 16. It says he sympathizes with our weaknesses, and he was tempted at all points, but he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain what? Mercy, and find grace to help in time of need. You know, this is very important to note this, that the person who sympathizes is the person who feels what you feel. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. From verse 3, it says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of what? Of compassion. God is the Father of compassion. Why would people need compassion? Because they're going through things, isn't it? Compassion. And the God of all comfort. God is a Father of compassion. He is compassionate. So children of God must be what? Must be compassionate. We must be people who are able to comfort people. Not people who harass people. Not people who make people sad. We have to be like our Father. But next verse, verse 4. It says, who comforts us in what? In all our troubles. Why do we have troubles? Why do you think we have troubles? Because of this world that we live in is full of troubles, it's full of challenges and situations. Like I said, when we get to heaven, when Christ returns, there will be no more troubles, no more sickness, no more pain. So God comforts us in all our troubles so that, why is he comforting us? So that we can comfort those in any trouble. So the reason God comforts me is not so that I will just feel comforted and say, oh, thank you, Lord, for comforting me. There is a purpose to it. So that I can comfort those in any trouble with what? The comfort we ourselves receive from God. So if I've gone through, let's say you've gone through a marital issue, and you receive comfort, Maybe God sends somebody, or through his word you've been comforted, or God sends, maybe you came to the pastor or went to one of the elders and they've been able to comfort you, and you've been what? When you are comforted, you are strengthened, because that's a weak point, that's a weak moment. Once you've been strengthened, what do you do? What should you do? You should look out for people who are going through what you've been through. Now, this is important because he's saying that's exactly what Jesus is doing. He came to earth to experience. So now he has overcome it. He is in heaven. And his job is so that he will do what? He will strengthen you in your weakness. And that's why he's saying that we must come to God. Anytime we feel an area of weakness in our life, that we find ourselves wanting to submit to that weakness, is too much for us to carry, we must always come to him, because he will strengthen us. Hallelujah. And if we miss it, because mercy is for pardon, mercy is for forgiveness. And so there is a greater purpose to your weaknesses. Did you know that? What's the purpose? What purpose can come out of your challenges? You are able to comfort those who are going through that same thing once you have overcome it. Now, this is important. I want you to catch this. We're talking about strength over weakness. The way we overcome weaknesses in life is that we receive the strength that comes from God, and that once we are comforted, we use it to strengthen our other people. Remember when Jesus said to Peter that he would deny him 3 times. And Peter said, no, I'm not going to deny you. In fact, I'm ready to die with you. And Jesus said he had already prayed for him and said, once you are what? Once you are strengthened, strengthen the other brethren. So the next time you find somebody who is falling under the same weight, you are able to tell them and say, look, I denied the Lord Jesus 3 times, but he strengthened me. So you are able to strengthen another person. But notice this, it's important that you realize that in your flesh you have weaknesses. Never deny your weaknesses. Because if you deny your weaknesses, the help that is available at the throne of grace, you will not have. And that's why he's saying, don't let it slip through your fingers. Don't let weaknesses or challenges come your way and you're trying to maybe deny it, try to fight it yourself. You've got to come to God and obtain mercy and find grace to what? To help in time of need. So weaknesses are inadequacies, challenges, limitations, and shortcomings. You know, a lot of our relationships, you know, and I think we need to renew our minds even as we hear this message. A lot of our relationships are not strong as they should because we cover and deny our weaknesses. You know, maybe your husbands and wives, or brothers and sisters, someone notes and tells you, you know, you keep doing this thing. It's not good. You know what you do? You get upset. Hallelujah. Because we don't want our weaknesses to be mentioned. But the Bible says that it's when we acknowledge our weaknesses that we get help. That's what the throne of grace is for. The reason is, in this flesh, we have weaknesses. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 18. He says, for I know that in me, this is Apostle Paul, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. Now, why is Paul trying to condemn himself? No, you will see that it is important for God to use you mightily and for you to renew your mind and change and be a better person. You have to acknowledge your faults. You have to acknowledge your weaknesses. I have to. Amen. Glory to God. It is liberty, because when you acknowledge those weaknesses in the flesh, not in your spirit is perfect, but your flesh has weaknesses. Glory to God. So if you're a student and your teacher calls you and they mention something about your behavior, what should you do? Should you get angry at the teacher? No. What should you do? You should come to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and grace to help. You see, mercy is pardon for what your weaknesses have caused people. And then the grace to help is to strengthen you so that you can overcome those weaknesses. And after a while, there's some weaknesses you just overcome. Hallelujah. Because you come to the throne of grace. There are people who are struggling with anger. First, you have to admit, you know, today they make people go for what they call anger management. They pay for it. But you know, you can overcome anger by coming to the throne of grace to obtain mercy, because you've used your anger to cause a lot of damage. Not only mercy, but you obtain grace to help. You are able to overcome anger. It is possible. But that comes through the throne of grace. But you cannot deny it. Once you deny it, you can't have it. Now, this is important. We're talking about God is good and is merciful. But in order to receive his mercy, I've got to come to him. Not, you see, you can't hide anything from God. Try and find the verse 13 of that scripture, Hebrews 4, verse 13. You will see that the whole purpose of saying that we should come to the throne of grace is so that we will, you know, because in fact, verse 13 says, God knows that all your faults, they are what? They are naked and open before God. So whether I admit it or not, God knows it. Did you know that? So if God already knows, why will I hide it? And God says, the solution to it is for me to come to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. So he says, for we do not, okay, let's go back, okay. Verse 13, do you have 13? If you don't have it, don't worry, I've just quoted it. It means that all things are open and naked before him with whom we have to do. That is, nothing is hidden from God. So because nothing is hidden from God, why don't you come to the high priest and obtain mercy? Romans chapter 7, verse 18. Hallelujah. Romans 7, verse 18. This will change our lives forever. It will change our homes, our marriages, our relationships, because a lot of the issues that we drag are issues of not admitting, not agreeing that I have this weakness. Sometimes, especially people who are of faith, they say, well, I don't want to admit that I have a weakness. The Bible says, let the weak say what? I am strong. He didn't say, let the weak say, I am not weak. The fact that it says, let the weak, it means you are the weak in your flesh. But it says you should say, I am strong. Why will you be strong? Because you've come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace to help. This will fix many relationships, amen. Because I know very well, and will still struggle with that today. You know, many times, especially when we first got married, you know, it's like I have a wife, and then my wife is saying, well, you did this. I'm not like that. If I'm not like that, how did she see to say I'm like that? And when I say to her that she's doing this, she too denies it. Why are we denying it? Because we don't admit our weaknesses. And if you don't admit it, you can be married for 50 years, it will remain the same. But if I admit it, especially admit it before God, then he will extend the mercy and the grace to help in time of need. Praise God. Okay, let's see. Apostle Paul says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me. So the spirit of Christ in Paul wills to do the right thing. Remember when Jesus said to the disciples, when he asked them to pray with him and they were sleeping, say, the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. Jesus said it. My flesh is weak, and you will see why it's important for me to admit this and to know this, because that is when I can have victory. If I'm hiding it, it's like I'm hiding my sin. And if I hide it, I can't find help. So it says, nothing good dwells, save for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. My body can't just do it. You know, in my heart, I want to do the best thing. I have great intentions, but I'm not able to do it. What's going on with me? Verse 19. For the good that I will to do, the word will there, you can say that I want to do, you know. The good that I want to do, I do not do it. You know, this is such a powerful thing, because I talked about comforting people. Many times when people offend you, you take it too far. Some people revenge, they retaliate and all of that. But if you can have this understanding that you And the other person, you are struggling in doing what you purpose to do. Paul is saying it. He said, but the evil I want not to do, that I practice. So what's going on now? Are you seeing how weak our flesh is? You cannot have confidence in your flesh. Once you have confidence in your flesh, that's what happens to people, and then they find themselves failing and falling because they never received help over the years. They keep saying, no, it's not there. They keep saying, no, I can deal with it myself without coming to God for mercy and for grace to help. Say, but the evil that I will not to do, that I practice. Verse 20. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it. So, maybe we'll find some time to look at Romans 7 in this series. What he's saying is, he's comparing two now, flesh and spirit. So he's saying the good that my spirit wants to do, my flesh doesn't do it. So he said, if I do what I don't want to do, so the first I is who? The first I is my flesh. If my flesh does what my spirit does not want to do, it is no longer my spirit doing it. It is what? Who is doing it? It is my flesh doing it. Hallelujah. Praise God. You moved the chapter. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the media. Go back to Romans 7:20. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. What is Paul doing now? He's acknowledging there's something with his flesh I need to deal with. It's a weakness. It's an inadequacy. It's a shortcoming, and it needs to be dealt with. Thank God there is help. Hallelujah. You know, every time you look at the situation of your life, any weakness in your life, you need to look up. You know, we read on Sunday, I will look up to where? To the hills. You look up to the hills because there is help. When you think of your shortcomings, don't look down. Don't look right. Don't look left. Look up because there is help. Glory to God. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. Paul is saying that when I came to you, the Corinthians, when I came, I didn't have excellence of speech. In fact, if you read other scriptures, you find that Paul was not very eloquent. He was good at his letters, but in his speech, he was not eloquent. And that's exactly what he's saying. Verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. God used him so mightily, even without perfection of speech, even without eloquence, without excellence. So that was an area of weakness. You know, there are some people, you know, they don't want to do something because they say, oh, no, you know, I can't speak very well. If I was better at speaking, then I'll be able to do it. You know, you have a vision. Say, well, you know, all those people that can speak so well, those are the people God will use. Well, I can't speak well, but Apostle Paul, who wrote 3/4 of the Bible, who did mighty things through his ministry, the dead were raised. Great things happened. He says that I didn't have eloquence of speech. Praise God. He said, all I came was the message I have about Jesus, his crucifixion and his resurrection. Verse 3. I was with you in what? In weakness. Now, why is he talking about weakness? You read Romans 7, you read Corinthians, if you go to Philippians, he talked about weakness. Why is Paul doing this? Because the more you acknowledge your weakness, the greater God can use you. And you know, not only God can use you, there are many people God is using, but they are proud. People who acknowledge your weaknesses will be humble. Amen. And so he says, I was with you in weakness, in weakness. Paul said, when I came to you, I came in weakness. There was so much weakness, there was so much fear and a much trembling. And you think, oh, wow, Paul, why would you say such a thing? Paul is letting them know the reality in his flesh. This was in his flesh. In fact, he was saying that what he was kind of saying is that, you know, when I came to talk about Jesus, I was trembling inside. You didn't notice. What did God use him? God used him. How? Because he acknowledged it and he received grace to help in time of need. Next verse. Verse 4. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in what? Demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So my speech was not based on human knowledge, was not based on eloquence. It was a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Glory to God. Because the Spirit of God is the grace, or is the Spirit of grace. Next verse, verse 5. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the what? In the power of God. So, look at me, Paul. As great and all the wonderful things I've achieved, when I started off, I came in weakness. I came in fear. I came in trembling. And look at all the things God has done. If God can do that in me, how much more can he do through anyone who trusts in him? Hallelujah. Your weaknesses are not a problem to God. God knows that you have weaknesses. All things are open before him, and we must come to him to receive help to overcome those weaknesses. You know, as a pastor, I see many people struggling and with so many challenges. And I know, you know, when people come to me, I say to them, I say, look, you've got to surrender it to God. They hide it everywhere. They try to cover it. Some people deny it. In fact, one of the first things that, the only way I can help people when they come to me for help is they tell me what their issue is. Most times people tell me, you know, if maybe I'm counseling with a husband and a wife, the wife comes to blame the husband, and the husband comes to blame the wife. Then we can't move forward. Impossible. Praise God. Can you imagine if someone, I have people like that, they just come and say, Pastor, I did this, I did this, I did. I won't lie to you, Pastor. You know, I cannot lie when I come. You know, they actually say, you know, I'm in church and I'm with the pastor, so I cannot lie. This is what he did and this is what I did. Wow! That's an open check for solution. Open check for answer. Praise God. And if one person admits and the other doesn't admit, it would be hard to solve that problem. So most of the challenges you see is not because we're not trying to help, but until someone admits they have a weakness, you cannot help them. Same thing with God. So he says, so that your faith will not lie in the wisdom of man, but what? In the power of God. It is authenticity. Christianity has to be authentic. There is faith, and faith is authentic. We must admit and acknowledge our weaknesses. You know, if you, like I've told you about students, you know, sometimes maybe they invite you to the school and say, oh, your child did this. There are many parents who say, my child didn't do it. They just say, no, my child is perfect. She can't do that. He can't. You haven't helped the child. Praise God. And say, Pastor, don't defend our teachers. Amen. It's not about the teacher. The teacher has already got their degree. They're already working. They've already earned your money. It is you that you need to get what you need from that education. Praise God. And so every time you need help, what do? You go and ask. And you know, even when you do a test or you do an exam, the best students or the good students, let me not say best students, the good students will look at the places where they are wrong and they go and find what? The answer. Don't. If you got, say, 70 over 100 or 60 over 100, whatever it is, what do you do? Do you just take the mark and throw it in the bin? No. You look at all the ones that you're wrong. See, people, and this is our flesh. Our flesh does not like what we get wrong. We don't like it. And if you do it with your education, you will do it with your marriage, you will do it with your children, you do it in every other area of life, with work. When they call you for evaluation at work, do you know how tense people can be? You know why they are tense? Because I want them to say, all my work was perfect. Well, if you tell me all my work was perfect, I will ask you, is there any area that I can improve? That should be the question. That's wisdom. This is what made Paul to be great. And that's what made him to remain humble. And I can read many scriptures to you that all the other people were actually accusing Paul. Because Paul said they were boasting. And then Paul said, I think I will become a fool like you and boast. You know, the Bible says Paul was rude in speech. And so what am I saying here? It is important that you acknowledge and recognize your weaknesses so that you can get help. Help from God. Hallelujah. He said that your faith will not lie in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. I'll be closing with this. There's strength over weakness when we come to God. Look at this. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that he might depart from me. We haven't got time. I think Minister Pledge mentioned this also on Sunday. It talks about, if you read the preceding verses, he said, due to the amount of revelation that he had received, a messenger of Satan was sent to him. So it wasn't from God. It tells us that it's a messenger of Satan. Satan wanted to stop him at all costs from him going about and sharing this powerful revelation that he's received from God. All the knowledge and all the wisdom that God had given him, the devil wanted to stop him. So everywhere he went, he encountered problems. If you read the preceding chapter, 11, it tells us how that he was let down from the roof, from the window of a house into a basket, through a basket, and to escape. He said there were places he went. After preaching, there was riot because people were getting saved. He said, 3 times I was given 39 lashes. 3 times. He talked about shipwreck. He said, I faced death. I faced so many things. What was the enemy trying to do? The enemy was trying to get at him. And you know what happened? Paul got angry. And see, what Paul is going through, he's going through a situation just like you and I. Can you imagine you preach the gospel and people are coming against you and you're running away? Paul will feel like, no, I need to turn back. Let me gather all these guys. Let's go and fight them. That's weakness, isn't it? Because Paul has done it before. He was going about persecuting the believers. So he had all this going on. So he's asking God, you know, take this from me. Say 3 times that he might depart from me so that all these challenges, all these issues will go. Look at verse 9. And he said to me, my what? My grace is sufficient for you. So I want this thing to go, but God is saying the answer is my grace. So there are many things you say, oh, well, let this thing go. God wants you to depend on his grace, not depend on what you can do, not depend on your effort, not depend on your intellect, not depend on your own wisdom. He says, depend on my grace. What is grace for? Grace is for weakness. It's to help. He says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I hope that you will catch this truth. God said to him, don't ask to take it away. Ask for what? In fact, not ask for it. Come to the throne of grace and obtain grace. He says, my grace is sufficient. You know what the word sufficient means? It means it is enough. He doesn't need any help. Grace doesn't need help. Grace is help. If you're having any weakness in your life, any weakness, it could be envy, anger, rudeness. If somebody ever told you are rude, then accept it and come to God. Look at what it says. My strength is what? Is made perfect in weakness. So God is saying that in order for you to have the perfection of my strength, you've got to bring your weakness, because it is in that weakness that I will show my strength. Praise God. If I deny my weakness, then the strength of God cannot work in it. Oh, this is powerful truth. Therefore, now, you see, he went to God how many times? 3 times. He went to God the first time and asked God to remove it. What did God give him answer? My grace is sufficient for you. He went to God a second time and said, God, maybe you didn't hear me clearly. What did God say? My grace is sufficient for you. Then he went a third time and said what? My grace is sufficient for you. So he said, and God said, my strength, God gave him the secret. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, look at what he says now. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities. What is infirmities? In my weaknesses. Can you imagine somebody comes and they're telling you, oh, you know, you've done this. You've done this. Oh, yeah, I know. I've got that challenge, but I trust God. I know I've got grace to help in that time of need. Hallelujah. Says, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Next verse. Therefore, I take pleasure in my weaknesses. You know, people don't take pleasure. They don't. You know, the word pleasure here means I glory in it. That is, I tell people, I let people know that I have weaknesses, that I have a challenge in this area. I let people know. Most people glory in their strength. Praise God. But he says, because of what God told me, the perfection of his strength in weaknesses, I take glory in it. You know, share testimony with you. There, you know, every time I share testimonies of my life, of our marriage, and I've told you about some financial issues that we had some years, but well, I had, and through the strength, you know, I told you my wife is my grace, and I am her grace. Glory to God. And so, we went to this wedding just last year. I think it was around October. We went to a wedding. I went to conduct the wedding. And I shared a testimony of some of the weaknesses that we had, my wife and I, starting the marriage. I was talking about love does not keep a record of wrongs. And I said, the way you will know that you're keeping a record of wrongs, once there is any issue between you and your wife, you bring it up. So, well, you did this other day. And guess what? The cameraman and many other people, particularly the cameraman, came to me after the service. And he said, you just saved my marriage. Said, all I do is point out. See, my wife, I say, we've been together for 12 years. They have two kids. He said, but we've only been married a year. That you are, and I know that you have saved many marriages here. See, not only has God come and strengthened us in that area of weakness. Do you know that? That thing that I told them, you all know it. I don't want to go into it because of time. Now, that thing I told them about their weakness, my wife's weakness, she hasn't changed. And the one I told about myself, I still haven't changed. But we've been married 29 years. How has that happened? My grace is sufficient for you. For my grace, my strength is what? Is made perfect in what? In weakness. Do I want to continue doing that thing? No, I've tried many times. Does she want to continue doing it? No, I don't know if she's tried it. Hallelujah. But you know what I'm saying? This is where God's strength comes in. And that is how you can testify. That's why you can share with people and they can be encouraged. And this guy said, look, I'm going to go and tell all my friends because we all do the same thing. That's what we do. And that's why when we gather together as men, we complain and moan about our wives. But today, you saved my marriage. And the couple came to meet us. Many people came after the wedding. It was almost like the wedding was church. They said, what powerful word they received. And all they were doing is that testimony. He said, once you have been comforted, you comfort others. But we have to realize that there is strength in weakness. Because God's word said, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, let's begin to thank God for his word. Say, Lord, I'm not hiding my weaknesses. You know it anyway. All things are open before you. Any area that you're struggling, if you're a child, maybe you're struggling with being stubborn, you can say it out. Don't be ashamed. God is not ashamed of you. He knows your flesh. He knows that you have flesh. So that you no longer be a stubborn child, admit it today to the Lord. If you're struggling with forgiveness, to forgive people, you have bitterness against somebody, they've done something terrible to you, why don't you admit it to God? Admit and submit it before the Father. I'm struggling to be able to work with those people in my workplace. I'm struggling to relate with people well at school. I'm struggling. Oh, I want you to admit it to God. My flesh, it is my flesh. Let the strength of God prevail in that weakness. Maybe you have impatience. Impatience. It's a weakness. Indecision. It's a weakness. Say, Lord, I want to be decisive. Let your strength come into that. I've been told, but I've been denying it. I've been saying, no. I don't have indecision. I'm a patient person. Well, you've got to admit that weakness. Because when you are weak, then you are strong. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you praise. Thank you for every member of this church. We come to you, Lord God. Nothing is hidden from you. You know the weaknesses of our flesh. We bring them open before you to seek help. Because there is help at the throne of grace. Thank you, Father, for giving us mercy. Mercy. We've been forgiven of everything that we've done that is not right. And we receive the strength from heaven to overcome those weaknesses today. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory.